Praise the Lord. Okay, it appears to be recording, so that's a good thing. This is the time of year where the last of our summer people have gone. Jim, if you're listening, you said you had to leave because it's going to snow. Bolton Valley got 9 inches of snow last night. So, probably a good time to go. What's today's date? 21st? 23rd. Today's the 23rd of October. So on the night of the 22nd into the 23rd, Bolton Valley got 9 inches of snow. There's no snow here, though, so you could still be here with us. Just want to throw that out there. Jim and Kathy, we miss you. Jackie, hope you had a safe trip back down. We miss you. Andy and Dale, hoping you're enjoying things at your winter abode. We look forward to having you again with us next year. Praise the Lord. I want to talk a little bit this morning about encouraging one another. You know, every last one of us needs encouragement from time to time. Deb and I were just down at this conference down in Pennsylvania, and you know, sometimes it's when we examine ourselves, we don't see things, we don't see ourselves the same way other people see us. I don't know about you, but many times as I examine myself, I recognize all my faults and failures and shortcomings. Those of you that don't have any faults, failures, and shortcomings probably can't relate to that. But when you're dealing with other people, sometimes they see a perseverance in the midst of obstacles that we tend to miss. We have this little congregation here. Sometimes it's bigger than others. Summertime is generally a little bit larger than it is in the fall and winter. And as we look around and have a kind of a family relationship, everything is good. Any families have turmoil? Any families have problems? But we have that going on sometimes. I know, having been the oldest growing up, the one that was responsible, even to the point where I got at least one beating that I remember for something one of my brothers did, that being responsible sometimes kind of weighs on me. But coming together in a family situation, having the ability to encourage one another, encouraging one another not just in the church, not just the people we encounter on the street, but lifting up our brothers and sisters in prayer. Lifting up our brothers and sisters by pointing out things that you recognize that they do well, or recognize how God is working in their lives, or recognize how they have demonstrated some grace or some patience or a strength that gives us something to admire and honor. As I've done a lot of driving this so far this month, I think I've put about 4,500 miles on the PT Cruiser this month, to the point where the truck's getting jealous. It's not getting any attention. And as I'm driving around, I'm doing a whole bunch of Sue prayers. Because Sue has the grace and the graciousness to say, when she sees somebody driving slow, recognizing that that's a perfect opportunity. God has brought that person across our path to that we can pray for them. Believe me, I had never considered praying for the slow person in front of me until Sue brought it up. Until Sue sent me that email. And now I think about it very often. Praise God. It gives me something to do other than what my flesh wanted to do when that slow person is in front of me. I can now take this as a moment to seek the Father on their behalf. That's encouraging one another. That's blessing one another. That's strengthening one another. That's giving one another another perspective than they would have had than they had before. And I am very grateful for that email, Sue. I am very grateful that for the last 2 years now, it's been about 2 years, 2.5 years, since you sent that email, it's become something that's getting embedded in my spirit. I am not saying that I am absolutely perfect. I'm not saying I do Sue prayers for every slow person I come up behind. But it happens a whole lot more often now than it did before. That's part of encouraging one another, strengthening one another in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 8. Paul says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." Paul starts off here saying, first off, work to prepare yourself. Preparing yourself for the ministry, for the works of ministry. Be sober. That's be alert. Be vigilant. Be serious. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Making the effort to shield our hearts and to trust God even in the midst of the circumstance. Making a decision to do that. And also a decision to love and to show God's grace to the people that we see. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. You remember, what does a helmet do? It protects your head. Maybe block out some of them crazy thoughts. I got a chance to share with some folks yesterday about that day quite a few years ago where I was saying, letting people know just how, you know, what a wicked heart your pastor has, and driving down that road, and there was that herd of bicycles in front of us that would not give up the road and wouldn't even get to the side. They were all over the place. And I just had that thought, and I did not do it, but I had that thought of easing up next to them and running them in the cornfield. And how we had those two visitors here that day, and then afterwards say, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Oh, we're here on a bicycle tour." As a helmet, as a protection for your head, as a protection for your mind, the hope of salvation, concentrating on the things of the Lord through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we would live together with Him. That no matter what we do, no matter what we do, our goal is that we are living, our expectation is that we are living together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are also doing." Encourage people, comfort people, reach out. How can we help one another? How can we give that kind word that's going to make a difference in somebody's life? Because you don't know what it's going to take. Listening to Christian radio, I have no clue. I do not know what the show was. I do not know. I don't know what state I was in as I was driving. But as I was driving down, I listened to Christian radio, and there was the people that were talking were relaying a story about these young people that had been sent out to deliver tracts. You know, just go knocking on doors, passing out tracts. And how they had gone to this, been going along, and then just went to go up to this one house and go knocking on the door. And they can hear somebody inside, but nobody's coming. And knock on the door, and finally somebody comes and just barely opens the door. You know, just they can basically see the eye through the little bit, you know. Got the chain on the door so you're not getting in. And they passed in a track. just want to let you know Jesus loves you. Guy closes the door. So they go on. They go on to their house, or they go on to wherever they're going. As they're going along, they get in the vehicle and they're driving, and turn on the radio. And on the radio, this person calls into a show and says, "I just wanted to let you know. My life was an absolute mess. I was about to kill myself. I had the rope around my neck. And somebody kept ringing my doorbell, knocking on my door. Like, what in the world is this? So I took off the rope and I went and just, what do you want?" And they handed me this piece of paper telling me that God loves me. Needless to say, the guy did not commit the suicide because he just called to talk about this. We don't know what kind word we do is what kind word that we have. We don't know what nice gesture. We don't know what we do that's going to actually make an impact in people's lives. We don't know how a kind word, we don't know how a gesture or a deed is going to make somebody stop and think. We don't know what eternal impact we are going to have in somebody's life just by reaching out to them. We are called to encourage one another. Here in Thessalonians, well, let me go on down, finish this passage. We just read verse 11, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you're doing." Comfort each other and edify. So what does edify mean? To lift them up, to encourage them. "Just as you are also doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always." Paul says, encourage the people around you. Warn those who are unruly. That's part of encouraging. Hey, you know, you really shouldn't do that. "Pastor, I know when you're driving and somebody gets in front of you and slows down, they're kind of impatient. You get kind of impatient. So that's a good time to just give them a just pray for them. Maybe that's the only time God will ever place them right in front of you." And no, we don't pray that, "God, I hope this is the only time they're ever right in front of me." We pray that, "God, I thank you that here is an opportunity to recognize that I'm selfish. Here's an opportunity to recognize that I'm more focused on myself than I am on other people." Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Comfort those who are kind of in a position they don't know what to do. Everything, they get overwhelmed. Ever been overwhelmed? I have. Isn't it great if somebody comforts you, encourages you? Out of the clear blue, somebody says, "Hey, that was a really good job you did the other day." What are you talking about? You know, my mind is going how overwhelmed I am, and somebody says that I did a good job. I have to stop and change my thoughts to try to figure out what in the world they're talking about. Maybe that was exactly the point. As we comfort one another, as we encourage one another, as we look for those things that are praiseworthy, look for those things that are worth encouraging people in. We look for those situations where we can share a good word with somebody. It changes our pattern of thought. It changes our understanding of ourselves and of our circumstances, and brings us to the point that God is still trying to get in touch with us. God is still trying to work in us. uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Anybody besides me have a rough time with that? How about if I'm only patient with like a quarter of them? Maybe an eighth of them. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Looking for what is good. Looking for the benefit of others. I've mentioned before, I have a coworker who for many, many, many years, the only way he would do something for anyone was if it was also a benefit to him. It's one thing to say, I'll help you as long as it doesn't hurt me. That wasn't him. It's one thing to say, I'll help you no matter what. His was always, unless, you know, what's in it for me? Unless there was something. And I've noticed over the years that's not so evident. So I'm not sure how, what all God is doing in the midst of it. But it's not what I'd seen before. The negative behavior I'd seen before is not there anymore. Praise God. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. We're looking for the benefit of others. We're looking for the blessing of others. We recognize that God is the one who takes care of us. That God is at work in our hearts and our lives. God is watching over us and keeping us. He loves us with an everlasting love. We are engraved in the palm of His hands. Nothing comes into our life that God does not know about and has not already promised to work together for our good. So if we have that mindset, if we have that understanding, we can take and use that as a foundation, not worried about me anymore. Now I can look, how can I be a blessing? How can I encourage somebody? How can I strengthen somebody? How can I reach into somebody else's life? And go on to Acts chapter 11. I'm going to read a little bit about guy by the name of Barnabas. Anybody know what Barnabas means? Anybody remember? Brother of encouragement. One who encourages people. That's just who he was. So much that, you know, we see it in his life. We see it as he's going even throughout ministry. Says, then the news of these things that the news was it came to Jerusalem, word came to Jerusalem that there were bodies of believers in the outlying areas. Not just throughout Israel, but going up into Asia Minor. There were bodies of believers who were standing in the faith. News of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue in the Lord. So he found them and he encouraged them in the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So as he's going there encouraging people, more and more people come to know Jesus in the midst of it. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. It wasn't just enough to go to Antioch and encourage the people there. It was laid on his heart. So he went to Tarsus and went to find Saul. You remember Saul, persecutor of Christians. On his way to Damascus to persecute some more believers, and had an encounter with God on the road, struck blind. Well, he wasn't really accepted. So he'd gone back home. And Barnabas went to go get him. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And was there for... So it was there that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. As Barnabas first went to Antioch and encouraged the believers there. Then he went and found Paul and encouraged him, and he brought him back and stayed there with him, encouraging him and helping him, and together they worked in ministry. And you know, after this they went on a missionary journey all over the place. They traveled together because there was a bond and an encouragement between them. They encouraged one another. They strengthened one another. They were both going and encouraging the believers around them, or going to share the good news with people that hadn't heard it yet. They went to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to find those things that were weak or lacking and build them up. I'm going to skip that one, Deb. Go on to Hebrews. The one I'm going to skip, I'm not going to read, it talks about Paul and Silas in jail. And as they were in jail, they were arrested and they were beaten and they were thrown in prison. And even there in prison, in stocks and chains, they're singing praise to God. And as they're praising the Lord, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in the jail, an earthquake came and loosed everybody's shackles. Now, I've never seen a shackle that's going to be every last one of them loosed just from a shaking. So I'm pretty sure it wasn't a natural shaking that came. There was an earthquake, but there was a whole lot more than just a rather rumble of the ground if everyone's bonds were loosed. And Paul and Silas shared with the jailer. The jailer came in going to kill himself because he knew everyone had escaped and he was responsible for their lives. And Paul says, don't harm yourself. We're still here. The next day, as they went to let him go, they were just going to turn him away quietly. So after Paul and Silas made refused to let them beat them openly and send them away quietly, made them come and get them and basically come and apologize. But then he went to the church and encouraged the church. He encouraged the believers before he left. Here's a guy that's just been beaten. He's had his body damaged. And his thought is to be a blessing to the people around him. His thought is to encourage the jailer and share the good news with the jailer. His thought is to encourage the people of the church before he leaves. Final passage of Scripture, Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one can see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. The passage here tells us to strengthen those that are weak, to encourage those that are disheartened, to find ways to become an encouragement to the people around us. To make it an effort to always pursue peace. To make it an effort to live a holy life. To make it an effort to make a difference every place that we go. You know, the Bible tells us that David, because no one else would encourage him, encouraged himself. And sometimes that's what we have to do, is encourage ourselves. Remember, think back on the things that God has already done and recognize He has not brought us this far to leave us right here, but that He still has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Sometimes there's nobody around. We have to encourage ourselves. Every person goes through that. But we are called to be an encouragement. We are called to be one who strengthens one another, because the entire body of Christ is strengthened by that which every joint supplies. Our job, our calling, the hope of glory in us should be manifested in ways that reaches out and touches and encourages other people. That as the body of Christ we go forward, not as individuals. Collectively, and not just not just this little gathering, but that as we encounter other believers, as we encounter other people, we should be encouraging them to seek the things of God. We should be encouraging them to not give up. We should be encouraging them that they are not alone. There's a family that I know that is going through some difficulties with one of their children. And it was just on my heart to go to the father and say, the father of this family. I go to the father for them also, but that's not what I was saying at this point. And just encouraging them, somebody knows what you're going through or has experienced similar things and understands and cares. We feel so isolated sometimes that nobody knows, nobody cares. We know God knows, but we don't want to be the one saying, woe is me. We don't want to be the one saying, I have a problem. We don't want to be the one saying, look, I know you're busy, but I have this thing going on. So just as we recognize people around us struggling in different areas, or as we recognize people around us, whether we understand the things that they're going through or not, whether we even think they're going through anything bad, we are called to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to lift up the hands that hang down, to strengthen the feeble knees, and to pursue peace with everyone around us. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You've called us to be a light and a witness every place that we go, in every situation that we find ourselves in. We know, Lord, that You are the one who takes care of us. But we thank You, Father, that sometimes You use our brothers or our sisters to encourage us, and ask, Father, that You'd give us Your wisdom and Your understanding. Father, Your eyes to see, so that we can recognize those around us who need a touch, who need a word, who need an encouragement. But Lord, that it would be just part of the way we walk through this life, that we walk through this life showing Your love, Your grace, Your mercy to everyone we encounter. Reaching out, finding those ways we can help. Reaching out just to be the encourager. Reaching out just to be, Father, the one who would show love. We thank You for it, Father. We thank You, Lord, for what You've already done in us. And we know, Father, that You who have began the good work are faithful to complete it. So, Lord, we give You praise. We give You all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.